Hey everybody, it's John Patitucci, and I'm here with you on the Jazz Spotlight.
Episode 79.
Welcome to the Jazz Spotlight, the podcast that gives you the insight and tools you need to be in the music industry today. Artists, authors, and top music industry experts give you actionable tips that will help you promote yourself the smart way. Here's your host, Jan Ilunga.
Hey everybody, what is up? Jan Ilunga here with the 79th episode of the Jazz Spotlight podcast, the second of season 2. It started on Tuesday, so in case you missed that, on Tuesday we were joined by Norwegian star saxophonist Marius Neset. So if you are interested in learning more about Marius and the great conversation we had, you can find it at thejazzspotlight.com/episode78. Today, we are joined by an incredible guest. He's one of the most in-demand and influential bass players. And it's great because we have had Dave Holland here with us. You may remember from season 1. I think it was maybe episode 22. We have had him. And now we have another incredible bass player here with us to tell us more about his career, his new album, and upcoming projects. You find the show notes with the links to everything my guest and I talk about at thejazzspotlight.com/episode79. Let's hear it. Here is a jazz talk with John Patitucci.
Hey everybody, I hope you're ready for a fantastic episode of the Jazz Spotlight. And if you've been with me in the past, you may remember we have talked with Dave Holland, an incredible bass player, and we have another amazing bass player here with us at the Potty Jazz Festival. He's actually just finished performing like literally 5 minutes ago with the When Shore Quartet, and he's here with us. What can I tell you? I'm just going to introduce him. It's with great pleasure that I welcome on the show John Patitucci. Hey, Mr. Patitucci, how's it going?
Very good, man. We had a nice concert with Wayne, and the audience was really into it. They were listening pretty closely, you could tell. Even though it's an outside venue, sometimes outside venues, people are more just hanging out and having a party. But these people were really in there.
Yeah.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
And you had luck with the weather, actually, because during the concert it was like perfect. And then as you finish it, well, it started a little bit, but it went smoothly. And, you have achieved so much during like your career of being performing for so long. And I think something that is interesting is that maybe not that many accomplished musicians as yourself have done is that you've started actually playing at the age of 10, and at the age of 12, you were already both composing and performing. So what, obviously there's been a few years since those times, but what do you remember about, the beginning of your career those days?
Well, my brother is a guitar player. He started playing music in the family first, and he was my first teacher, and he got me into playing. And my grandfather brought these jazz records home also when we were living in Brooklyn. That's when we started to hear Wayne with Art Blakey and Wes Montgomery and Jimmy Smith and Monk and Oscar Peterson Trio, all kinds of stuff. And so we started hearing this music that was so different and wild and amazing that we were like, wow, we really gotta check this out. So we did. But then, my brother was helping me. I was learning by ear at first, and then I learned how to read music much later.
Mm-hmm. And so you just told us you learned by ear, and we're gonna talk at first, and we're gonna talk about something that you have out there that can really help people who are starting out. But I'm gonna ask you about that in a second. I want to ask you about the Grammys, because you won two Grammys, three Grammys, sorry. And it's interesting because one was as a composer, and two as a musician. So I wanted to ask you, as a musician, do you see them? Do they stay equally, or does one is worth more than the other? Or
anytime you get honored like that, it's great. Mm-hmm. I'm just thankful to be recognized, right. You know, that's, what can we do? I mean, we're out here working hard and trying to get better and raise the level as players and composers, really. And I've been nominated a bunch more times. And that meant a lot, just as much to me, to tell you the truth, because I was nominated a few times for compositions and solos or records or whatever, just to be nominated, you know. And, you know, for me, I feel really fortunate that I get to record, because a lot of bass players, it's hard to get record deals. You know, until this recently, I had conventional record deals for years. But then this new record, Brooklyn, that just came out, my wife and I are putting it out ourselves. So we have our own record company now. So that's kind of a new experience and exciting, actually.
And how do you feel?
It's going well.
It's a brand new record, like you released it in May, but
how it's going well.
So
and Brian and I went on the road with the band with two guitar players, Steve Cardenas and Adam Rogers, and we had a great time. It was neat. We played in the States and Japan. So it seems like it's, you know, it's being well received, which is great. And the thing is, kind of, you can keep track on it because it's yours.
And you mentioned Brooklyn by your John Patitucci Electric Guitar Quartet. And you're from Brooklyn, and your latest album is called Brooklyn. So is it a tribute to your to your roots?
To that time growing up in East Flatbush, in a very, with a lot of family around, Italian-American kind of cultural existence in that borough where there was so much music and so much life and so much intensity, and a lot of jazz musicians were living there that I later found out were not that far away. So it's kind of, the music was all around me, I you know. So it was a beautiful chance for me to get involved in this art form, which I had no idea. I was just a kid.
And you're very busy because you just, we talked a little bit about the beginnings of your careers. Now we've talked about your new album, Brooklyn. You told us that is the first kind of self-released album. And you're also very involved with the younger generation. So with the younger teaching, musicians, with teaching. And that's what I wanted to ask you to talk for a moment about. Well, maybe we can't generalize too much, but about the state of music education. How is music education doing these days?
Well, I'm involved with Danilo Perez at the Global Jazz Institute at Berkeley. So for me, that's kind of the best teaching gig I ever had, because it's not just teaching people about music, it's teaching how to use music for social change and social justice and helping people who are not as privileged as we are. So that's close to my heart because I'm also very involved in church work, and so I have a very deep feelings about social justice, mercy issues, taking it seriously as a worldwide thing. You know, making sure people have clean water and a chance to learn and a roof over their head and some food. So I feel very serious about that. And we work with the kids to try to develop their character to care and to be present in the community in terms of using their music for good and not just be trying to be selfish and, okay, I just want to be famous and move to New York and, you know.
So your advice, if there is someone who's maybe has just graduated from music school or is about to graduate, is just at the beginning of their careers, what is your advice to care about the others?
Well, of course, that's part of it, because you play who you are. If you don't develop character as a person, what comes out your instrument is that same guy, or girl. So if there's character and there's sensitivity, it comes out. If there isn't, it comes still out, comes out. So there's a basic level there that something to think about. But also, I would say make sure you work very hard so you have something to give, because a lot of times kids are so concerned now with marketing. But if you don't have something to market, then it's a very shallow exercise. And you have to really make sure that you learn how to think of music and groups that you play in as a community, not just individually. I want to do my thing. Because that's how you build a life in music, is being able to help other people and really connect with people on a deep level, instead of just kind of being out for your thing.
Right.
Because that, you won't survive too well.
And you know, we have been talking about that you're very active in the education aspect of the music industry or music or jazz scene in general. You told us that you're also very passionate about social justice, about paying it forward, about really, you know, human rights, the very core principles that sometimes we take for granted as kind of more fortunate people, if we can say so. And I also know that in, I think it was in 2012, you launched an online jazz course, and I wanted to ask you about that, because I think is a great way of leveraging technology, not only to do marketing like we have just been talking about, but really to try to help others and really try to raise them, to really help them. And you have the website where you have
Artistworks.
Right, Artistworks.
They're a great company, and they developed all this technology with the video exchanges and and for a very relatively very inexpensive yearly thing, they can have access to hundreds of lessons, video feedback from me. Into community with other people, and they chat with each other, and they ask. It's really a very beautiful thing that they created. And again, like I said, it's very inexpensive for someone. Mm-hmm. Like usually, if they were going to come study privately with me, you know, it, what they're paying for a year is wouldn't even make it for two lessons.
Right.
So they get a whole year. They get feedback. They get PDFs that amount to like a base book worth of stuff that they can study. Play-alongs, all kind of things. They can watch performances,
And it's really in depth, because I saw that you have music theory, and you have both like for beginners,
styles,
intermediate, advanced, and you have both the upright bass and the electric bass guitar. So that's very interesting. So
and they have it very well organized. It's a very well run, and the kids are, you know, varying in ages, and they come from all over the world. All over the world. It's an international community, which I like.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about it. If there is maybe someone who's listening to you and I, who is already in a position maybe that would be able to help, you know, young kids. And what is cool about this is that people from Finland, people from Australia, everybody can get access
to
that. So if someone is listening to you and I and is kind of in a similar position as you, that you are able to pay it forward, what advice would you give them?
I guess nowadays, you know, one thing about the younger generation is they're trying to find creative alternatives because the scene is not the same. There's not as many easy opportunities or as there used to be. You have to work hard anyway. But it's more difficult to find gigs where you get mentored.
Right.
Because the economic situation, because jazz is not pop music. We don't have people throwing money at us.
Right.
You know? So... you have to think creatively, and then you have to really think, what do you really want? What kind of music do you really want to play? The good thing is it's kind of liberating, because the business is kind of, you don't have to really say, well, I need to make this kind of music in order to please the record company or whatever. No, people are making all kinds of music. Young people are, some are very bold, and they're just saying, no, this is what I hear, I'm doing this. That's a good thing. Because you have to learn how to be self-motivated. It's very important.
Yeah. And also, as we talked with you at the beginning, when we talked about Brooklyn, also with how the way technology has evolved, it's also easier to be, even if one is an independent artist, to come up with the concept, put on a record together and release it. And the last question I have for you for this fantastic interview has to do with your traveling, because I know that you're very active. You have... you are part of different projects, both as a leader, as a sideman, session musician. And I know, for example, now we're here in Finland, and I know that later on this summer you are going to be in Argentina, and then you're going to be at the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles. You're gonna be at the Blue Note in New York City. So, Mr. Paridurci, I have to ask you, how do you put up with the life on the road?
I'm used to it now. But and also, my wife is also a musician, so she knows what it's like. She manages my career. So she knows what it's like to be on the road. And we have two children and a dog. And we take care of her parents. They live with us. So I have to stay busy to keep the ship moving forward.
Right.
But, you know, over the years I've tried to make corrections and make, you know, so that I'm not out as much as I used to be.
Yeah, to condense it.
Yes. And I'm going to be 56 in December, so I'm trying to be pickier about when I go out of town.
Of course.
And the very last question is to ask you for some words of encouragement for someone who's listening to you and I and maybe would like to kind of follow your footsteps. So what would you tell them?
I guess the most important thing is to remember that music, especially jazz music, because its original roots were communal in Africa.
Right.
People made music together and you were mentored as a young person. You didn't even get to touch certain drums until you listened and became aware and respect the elders. So I would say respect the elders, try to learn as much as you can from them. I always asked a lot of questions and bugged people for information because I believe that if you're teachable, you can keep getting better until you die, until you go on. You know what I mean? Being teachable is number one. You have to keep that. The minute you think, well, I got it together, then you can't learn anymore because you think you already know it. That's not good. I've learned a lot from these masters that I work with. They're really interested in moving forward and learning new things, like Wayne, Chick, and Herbie, and, you know, all these guys that I played with, Freddie Hubbard and Joe Farrell, you know, Joe Lovano, Hank Jones, McCoy, you know, all these different people. And Danilo and Brian and I have a group together, Children of the Light, and we have a record coming out in September. So watch out for that too. So check out Brooklyn and Children of the Light when it comes out. But we'll be coming through Europe in October.
Okay, so
keep an eye out.
Keep an eye out. And I think the best way to keep updated with where you are is simply to go to your website, johnpatitucci.com.
There's usually stuff there. And then my wife has some Facebook stuff going on too for me. She handles all that. But I do try to answer, not as much as I'd like, because I'm busy trying to become a better musician. I can't stay on the computer all night. But anyway, I appreciate the people that reach out to me on Facebook and all those things. It's really wonderful, actually.
No, and it really changed the dynamic between, you know, like fans.
It has useful purposes too.
Mr. Patitucci, thank you so much for, you know, making time for the Jazz Spotlight.
I'm glad it worked out. I'm just so happy it worked out. Thank you, man.
Awesome, everybody. We are back. Mr. Patitucci, thank you, thank you, thank you for being here on the Jazz Spotlight. Thank you for making time. You probably don't know these guys, but he was very, very busy, but we managed to do the interview anyways. He found a moment for us. I really appreciate you, Mr. Patitucci. Thank you for sharing your story, telling us more about Brooklyn. And we talked about his online course. And as I said earlier, you find the show notes with the link to Brooklyn, to the new album, to Mr. Patitucci's website, to the online course, everything we've covered at thejazzspotlight.com/episode79. This has been the second episode. You can find all the previous 78 episodes at thejazzspotlight.com/podcast, or simply go to your favorite platform, whether that's iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud. You find there every single episode. Jan here. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining Mr. Patitucci and I in this great episode of the Jazz Spotlight. And I'll be back with you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend.